Today's reading starts in Luke chapter 11, verse 14. Luke 11, beginning in verse 14. Now he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons," while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." This exchange, when he casts out the demon, reveals a lot about the spirit of those that were coming to hear Jesus or see what was going on. Here they've seen a miraculous event happen. They deny it and then look for another miraculous event. It shows their hypocrisy. It shows that they have their blinders on, that they're unable to see the power of God that is working right in front of them. Jesus' response to them then shows that they're not really thinking this through. It's not logical what they're saying, that he's casting out demons by the power of Satan. The reality of the situation is that the Pharisees needed to account for what Jesus was doing in the eyes of the people. And so it's as if they picked this out of the air and thought, well, this is as good as any, and it'll discredit him at the same time. I'm not sure if they even thought it through to how he would respond to it. If you look over in Matthew chapter 12, which is the parallel account for this, there's an extra question that goes on. If you start in verse 22 of Matthew 12, it says, "A demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him, so that the man spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, 'Can this be the son of David?'" That's what was threatening to the Pharisees, them asking this question. Because if the answer is yes, then Jesus comes with authority that is above their authority, and that was threatening to them. Matthew goes on to say, "When the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons.'" And that's when Jesus begins to respond, saying, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. No city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will this kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges." So Matthew gives just a little bit more information to understand why they make this accusation against him. This is also where a couple of verses later, in verse 31, that Matthew also includes his statement, "Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in this age to come." And they were saying that Jesus was doing something not by the power of God, but by the power of Satan. And that would be a blasphemous statement to attribute something God does to Satan. In addition, if they're not repenting of that, then they can't be forgiven. And that really today is our unforgivable sin, that we do not repent of sin. Jesus also includes that interesting statement that there were some of their own that were casting out demons as well. he asked that question, by whom do your sons cast them out? In other words, if I'm doing this by the power of Satan, then that would implicate those of your number that are doing the same thing. It would have to be the same instance. So he catches them in that catch 22. The fact is, God's power is always greater than the power of Satan. And this was God's power at work. It was a victory over Satan, and it was a victory over these demons that would oppress people. And he describes it as, you know, the strong man entering the house. Jesus is plundering this house. His power over demons shows that he is greater, he is stronger, he is wiser than Satan. That is demonstrated by the fact that he could force them out of the man that was oppressed and who was mute and deaf. So we see it in other instances, you know, the power of God through what Jesus was doing to see all these wonderful things, you know, all the way up to the point of you know, the dead arising, Lazarus come out when he had already been put in the tomb. You know, they said, you know, it's been long enough that he even stinks. But Jesus said, Lazarus, come out, and he did. That was the power of God, the power of life itself. That's a power that we ought to be looking for. It's a power that we ought to be seeking out, the power of life for me. The fact is, Satan's always going to be at work in this world. We're going to be able to look around and see his handiwork, the handiwork of those that are essentially on his side, that are working with him, that are deceitful. And so he's got some power. He's not more powerful than God. God has greater power, but we can't mistake the fact that he does have power, and we can see these things around us, the power to corrupt, the power to destroy, and he attacks on a constant basis. We are engaged in spiritual warfare on a daily basis. And so seeing the power of Jesus over Satan should give us hope to know that our Savior, our Shepherd, our Lord, our King, our joint heir with him, our brother adopted into the family as we are, that we become his brothers, that we should have that hope in him. And that should bring us incredible hope and incredible confidence in Christ. But we have to be part of the victory and not part of the corruption and the death. We have to make our calling and election sure. We have to be part of what Jesus is, part of his kingdom, part of his church. And so his victory over Jesus is absolutely something to be celebrated. Our liberation from sin and death should be celebrated. And it all comes by the power of Jesus. The fact is, if you're a faithful Christian, then you have experienced the power of Jesus. And his power is still working for you right now. He is going to be victorious in the end when he collects his own and carries us home to be with the Father. I need to praise him for what he's doing. And so today, I would pray a prayer of thanksgiving for his power and his love for us, that he became the sacrifice for sins to bring us the grace of God. And we need to pray that we be diligent to not allow Satan back in, to not let him reign in this mortal body again, that we need to be truly faithful to him and one of his sheep. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer also that God may continue to be with us all.